All right, how about now? All right, consider an act on a motion to approve the regular meeting minutes of April 8th, 2024, the special meeting minutes of April 24th, 2024, the general government budget public hearing minutes of April 24, 2024, and the Board of Education public hearing meeting minutes of April 25th, 2024.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? All right, unanimous vote. Executive session, to consider and act on a motion to enter into executive session for the purpose of interviewing candidates for the Gardner Lake Authority, the Youth Advisory Board, discussions to include members of the Town Council, and Mayor Leonard Bunnell Sr.
So moved.
Second.
All right, note the time at 7:03, enter executive session. No votes are to be taken. And I believe we have two people here.
I'm at the banks.
Oh, you're still at the banks?
Is Scott Soddenberg in the audience?
Yeah, he was here. The gentleman was here.
All right, thank you. And we have Mr. Fonville. All right. Out of executive session at 7:21, no votes were taken. And moving on to the Section 8, remarks from the public relating to matters on the agenda with a 3-minute limit.
Rebecca Maurice, 1567, Route 85. We have listened to the improvements being made to the shelter and welcome anything being done to improve the living conditions there, provided it wasn't the equivalent of a Band-Aid solution being done or applied as a token gesture made to pacify and otherwise mask inaction on the building of our shelter. It gets harder to accept these actions. There are troubling and repeated failed inspections. As an animal care provider that looks at these failed inspections, the violation of potable water was the most concerning to me. My team and I began an investigation into why the Department of Agriculture has failed our shelter, citing this violation over and over, spanning well over 5 years. After visiting 5 departments, making numerous phone calls, and being transferred to different people, we got a similar response. No one knows anything about the water at the shelter, or they couldn't give us access to the information. As of today, freedom of information requests for water testing, as of yet, have gone unanswered. With all the obvious roadblocks placed in our way, we were still able to gather the following information. 23 years ago, the well that provides water to the shelter and public works was contaminated and labeled as such. The employees of Public Works were instructed not to drink the water, and water was brought in for them. Signs were put up warning people not to drink the water. No such precautions were taken for the animals. I had several big questions. These animals couldn't possibly have been given this water all this time, this same water that wasn't safe for humans to drink. What is in this contaminated water? And what effect would it have on an animal if it were consumed? I took the water report to an environmental specialist and asked about what they found. I will share the following. The water contains dangerous levels of hydrocarbon, acetone, and other petroleum-based products at high levels, making it unsafe to be used. This resulted in the well being labeled as contaminated. I took this information to 3 veterinarians, as well as consulted Poison Control and the Merck Veterinary Bible. Hydrocarbon exposure can cause irregular heartbeat rhythm, damage to kidneys and liver, respiratory distress, GI disturbances, seizures, and result in causing coma and death. The list continues and includes issues if the water comes in contact with skin or eyes. In fact, the list of potential ailments and injuries is simply too long to fit here. Month after month, we have been asked to be patient. These things take time, is what we've been told when asked for a plan for our shelter. All the while, the delays and inaction have had consequence on the animals that sought refuge in our shelter. Let me give you one heartbreaking example. The Day paper ran an article where they photographed a litter of puppies that were being raised in the shelter. One of those puppies I chose for a friend of mine. Her name was Amelia. A little over a week after her adoption, I received a distress phone call from her owner. Amelia was seizing, and she was en route to the vet. Upon her arrival, the vet started conducting tests and repeatedly asked her owner if Amelia had been exposed to anything toxic. She said she was showing signs conducive to a prolonged exposure to a toxin that could explain issues with her liver and the seizures. Her owner had no answers. The vet suggested they rush her to a more sophisticated hospital and conduct more testing. Amelia was given medicine to attempt to stop the seizures while her owner rushed her to another hospital an hour away. Amelia's mother called me frantic and hysterical as Amelia had started seizing again. In the background, I could hear her screams, a two-month-old puppy. This haunting sound of this tiny animal vocalizing in extreme pain was agonizing for me to hear and undoubtedly traumatizing for her owner. The second vet was unable to stop the seizing and informed her mom that ending her suffering was the only thing to do at this point. I'll remind you now that hydrocarbons cause seizure, liver damage, and death. Amelia was 2 months old. She began her short life at the shelter, exposed to contaminated water. She only knew fresh water for a week. To you, waiting a month or three for a Hail Mary seems justified. For Amelia, decisions like that cost her her life. Mr. Mayor, at our last meeting, you said it's not like we are treating animals inhumanely or abusing them at our shelter. However, citing Department of Agriculture's regulations of Connecticut state agencies, Title 22, dogs and cats should have unimpeded access to fresh, wholesome, nutritious food and clean water. And according to Section 53-247, Cruelty to Animals, having any animal impounded or confined without access to fresh, clean water or administering any poisonous substance or causing exposure to that substance would be considered animal cruelty. According to these statutes and regulations, the town of Montville has been abusing animals for 23 years.
Rebecca, your 3 minutes is up. Could you submit that letter? I'd like to put that into the record, please. If you
What's
get
that?
Your letter that you have there, you're reading from. Could you submit that and put it in the letter? Because I'd like to look into it further. And mm-hmm. I appreciate, you know, you going through that.
Yeah.
Right?
But I wasn't done.
What's that?
I have more.
3 minutes. Well,
I'm almost done.
Try to do 3 minutes.
I'll stand up for 3 minutes.
You can get my 3 minutes.
Is that okay? I only need like 30 seconds.
Better finish.
No, go ahead.
If the leadership in this town did not take steps to protect the animals in our shelter by making sure they had access to clean water, even after being notified for years of this repeated violation, then how can this community put the future of our animals in your hands? Our animals deserve more than Band-Aid solutions, inaction, and a crippled shelter with a poisoned well.
Remarks from the public? 3 minute limit, please.
You gave up 3 minutes.
Adam Elkins from 31 Bridge Street. You know, I'm here tonight to show support for the Build the Shelter team. They've been doing excellent work and are improving the lives of many animals. And, you know, I just want to say I support them. We need a new shelter. Please take them seriously. They have a plan, and I have seen a lot of inaction coming from you guys. So I'd appreciate it if you really took this issue seriously.
Tell her to
Ann Gollin, 64 D'Amato Drive, Oakdale. Tonight, this council can make a decision. We've been doing the research. We know that there's a surplus, and it's more than needed to keep the bills paid in Montville. We know that. The other thing we do know is that our tax levy is what we need below the 5%, and we can do a town meeting or right now a vote if we wanted to. Okay, it's a decision of you guys. You're just delaying. We have a timeline that we developed from 1965, I think, till now. And a lot of the tactics that are be using now, they've been going over and over and over in delay. And we can show you the timeline, and we've been researching it. And a lot of the things that happen now continue to happen. And so we don't have a decision made. Thank you.
I live in Quaker Hill, right over the town line. However, my animals do go to Albright Canines. And so because they are in Montville, I feel like this is something that I need to speak up about. I know for a fact that Becky Maurice from Albright Canines has offered her professional advice, and she's offered herself for free to this council, to the current ACO, to everyone to help improve conditions, and no one has reached out to ask her what she thinks. No one has reached out to ask her what is best for animals. None of you on this council know anything about animals the way that she does.
Not it the is ACO.
True. What I'd like to say is that I think it's funny how in the paper we take a picture of your new tarp that you've put on your animal shelter, and everyone thinks that that's just wonderful. However, if you had asked, you would find out that you've just created a greenhouse where the animals are now going to be overheated. If you had asked someone that had known what's going on with animals, you would know that you should have put a screened tarp up. Nothing that's going to let the sun in and cook and bake these animals. I know that those conditions are not the conditions that I want any of my animals subjected to. Because I live on the border, my animal could easily cross into your territory, and I would be disgusted if they ended up there. This town could cash in bonds right now, and you could make this happen, and you could make these animals safe. You've chosen to poison them for years. You've chosen to turn the other way for years. You've chosen to take the violations, and you've taken them, and you've pushed them aside because these animals cannot speak for themselves. You must listen to the people that are speaking for them, and you're not listening. You're not listening to the people that want our animals to be safe. What kind of family, what kind of business wants to move into a town that poisons their water? Mr. Mayor, how do you want to bring in business if you can't even keep animals safe? How do you bring in families if you can't keep animals safe? How can you do that? You can't. I'd like to say that I am disgusted. I think that, to quote Gandhi, the greatness of a nation and its moral progress can be judged by the way that its animals are treated. This community is disgraceful. The way that they treat their animals is disgraceful. And it is on all of your shoulders when you look at those pictures of those animals and the ones that had died and ones that we don't even know about yet that may have conditions. That's on your shoulders. Mr. Mayor, that's on your shoulders. You've been sitting on this council for years, and it's on your shoulders too, because you have always said no. And it is time that you say yes, and it is time that you do what's right and do what's best for these animals. This is on your shoulders. That death is on your shoulders. And the price of this shelter is on your shoulders. You've said no for so long that now the cost is so much. I hope that you all can find it within your hearts to be kind people, to show that the town of Montville cares about their animals. I hope that my animal, until there's improvements, never gets lost. I hope that they never end up at your shelter, because I wouldn't want my dog to die. Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak?
Hi, my name's Susan Warzika, 339 Oxo Boxo Dam Road, and these are my dogs. They're golden retrievers. I just want to go on the record, if they ever get lost, God forbid, and they end up at the animal shelter, do not give them water. Give them nothing. Do not hose them down. Don't cool them off. I don't want water anywhere near them. You call me, my husband and I will come and get them. Thank you.
My name is David Turner. I live at 68 Ridgehill Road in Oakdale. I've been a Montville resident for over 25 years. I've been a volunteer for the town on the Nyanyuk River Watershed Committee for over 10. I've met some of you in the past. I'm here to support this shelter, and I just have a couple of comments. You know, we've heard things about water that hasn't been tested in a long time. Poor conditions, walls that can't be sanitized, failing Department of Ag inspections for many years. Obviously, there's deferred maintenance. I'm not sure what the maintenance budget for that shelter is this year. But I think it's a pretty small number, and it's in dire need of help. Obviously, there's a lot of support for action on this matter. Someone said a long time ago, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. Please take action on this matter. Thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak? All right. Communications.
I think we got one more.
Yeah, one more in the back right-hand corner.
One up.
My name is Susan Waters, and I live at 1368 Old Colchester Road in Oakdale. I come in front of you with a lot of respect and to tell you that I have lived here by choice. I grew up in New London. My husband and I traveled, lived in many states, many towns, and when we researched to try to find a place to raise our children, I wanted a family-based town, and that was Montville. They educated my special needs child, my regular ed child, but you cared about family, and I believe you still do. The mayor was very present in the school systems. You did a lot with my children, and I appreciated that, and I respect that. And I love some of the things that you're doing. I come here perplexed as to how this particular issue, I've had animals all my life, dogs, cats, horses in Montville. And when you all approved conservatory property up in Oxbow Farms and gave us all this nice little tax break because you wanted to protect the land and the animals, and I'll tell you, we have a lot of animals. We have bobcats and fisher cats and deer, and they can't be touched on our property because that was the deal. And we bought into that, and even though Montville messed us over and didn't give us the tax break, I don't care, because I cared that you bought into protecting land and animals. We live next to a veterinarian. It's a beautiful place to be. And it's very popular in Connecticut to have these conservatory properties. So I come here very perplexed because you, Mr. Mayor, helped teach our children what was right and wrong. You, Mr. Mayor, as a policeman, know that you have canines that protected your life and the life of the policeman, just like that one in North Stonington that gave its life. These canines, we're called by God, not just us as people, to protect animals that are given to us as companions. And one of my animals 40 years ago ended up in the shelter. It was disgusting. Nobody called me. I didn't know where it was. Somebody had let my dog loose in my yard. It was disgusting then. And I sit here, I haven't been to a meeting in years. And I sit here and I say, why do these people have to keep coming here? Montville has always done what was right for families. We still have to go to Norwich and New London, which are the worst towns right now for crime, to go to a fast food restaurant. We don't have much of anything in Montville, but what we have is what has been good for families, and animals are part of our family. Any of you have animals? Are they part of your family?
Absolutely.
You give anything for them.
That's right.
They're part of our family. Mr. Mayor, you know children. You know children, and I know because I've watched you talk to them. And you can't go into a school system and say, you know what, here's our canine, and they do a lot of work for us, and they do this and that, and they'll give their life for us, but we don't have enough respect to give them a decent shelter. We don't have enough respect for them. Come on. We had parades for this canine that gave its life, and we can't have a decent shelter. Montville has always done what's right for families. Families want to live in Montville. Sandwiched between two towns, two cities that are a mess. But Montville has always been a place. Go anywhere in Montville, people are walking their dogs. People have animals around here, and they care about them. And last weekend showed you how much they care. It always comes down to money, I know, because I've been fighting for special needs all my life. But Montville always did the right thing. Why not now? Why not now? I don't understand this. But you have too many people that want the right thing, and they will work hard to help you do the right thing. Please, we don't have a lot of shopping centers here. We don't have a lot of things to do other than the casino. But what we do have are a lot of wonderful families. And you can't send children home and tell them it doesn't matter. Because today, when parents are working 2 and 3 and 4 jobs, they go home to their animals, these children, off the bus. They go home to their companion off the bus. We can't tell these kids, we can't tell these families that it doesn't matter to us. We can't do that. Please do what you have always done, and that has been the right thing for families in this town. We can lay our hats on that because we've done that. And if it comes to money, let people help you. Let people help you. Please do the right thing. I am so proud to say I come from Montville. I am so proud. And you have always done the right thing by our family and so many families. Please do the right thing. They're part of our family. Thank you.
Moving on, communications. Copy of the April 24, 2024 finance reports from Finance Director Barbara Griffin. Copy of the legal bills from Sussman and Shapiro for the month of March 2024, and copy of the legal bills from Heron and Sage for the month of March 2024. Did everyone receive those and review those? Moving on. Report from the town attorney on matters referred. Mayor, do we have anything?
No.
Remarks from the mayor and administrative department heads. Mayor, you want to take it?
Let's start off with the department heads.
Okay.
Barbara?
A long-awaited audit.
Thank you, Bob.
And we're going to have a briefing from the audit company next month.
Hi, Barbara. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
Barbara Griffin, Finance Director. And the financial statements. And just to answer that one question that everyone asks on page 5, I'm just going to point out under financial highlights, partway down the bulleted statements at the close of the current fiscal year, unassigned fund balance is $12.4 million, and that's represents 17% of general fund expenditures. As mentioned, the audit firm, representatives of the audit firm, CLA, are prepared to come to your June meeting. So I wanted to let you know that. I've already set that up for them. That gives you a chance to go through the audit in anticipation. And I will arrange to have that that happen at that meeting. Also, I had asked earlier in the year about extending their contract for one additional year. We had a contract that expired with them, but just in lieu of turnover in the office and I did get a quote from them, and it came in higher than the current year, but a little bit less than we had budgeted. I can get you that exact number. Would you like to consider that? Would you like it in the form of a resolution in June, or?
Well, don't we typically go out to bid for these?
Right, and that's why I had asked earlier in the year if you would be okay with just extending this one more year, and there seemed to be agreement at that time, if I got a quote.
What was the rationale for that? Was it because I thought there was not a lot of companies out there that did this, that they were available?
Part of the reason, yeah. But I'm more thinking just the turnover that occurred in the office, especially treasurer, who does a lot of the preparation for the audit.
You take up at the next council meeting.
We'll take that up at the next.
Sure.
All right.
Okay, that's all I have on the audit. The next thing I just wanted to talk about briefly is the NIPS fund. And I've had a request from the Public Works Director, John Carlson, for spending money from the NIPS fund. And I explained to him at the time this fund was set up and you became aware of this money coming in, the only thing you did at that time was authorize spending up to $15,000 for a special program of litter pickup, paying volunteers or volunteer organizations who would like to sign on and get donations to their organization. Otherwise, there was never any talk about who would have spending privileges from this fund. So John Carlson is specifically asked about supplies related to road cleanup, parts for the sweeper, brooms, things that are directly related to road cleanup, and that certainly is consistent with the language of the statute that set this up, just the specificity for how funds can be used.
Did that go through Public Works?
That's exactly what Mayor Bunnell has suggested, that the request could be made to the Public Works Committee, and then that recommendation could come from them. And when I talked to John, it would be helpful if there was something along the line of a an account in that fund, just as there is now. We set up the account to pay volunteers, their organization. There's just one spending account within that fund. And his request is that with the recommendation of Public Works, there'd be an actual dollar amount assigned to that line item. There's about $78,000 in the fund right now. And as I said, the only thing that's been earmarked is that $15,000. So we can take that up. Public Works Committee meets toward the end of May. I can take their recommendation to the Finance Committee meeting, and then a recommendation could come forward in the form of a resolution to the Town Council. Great. If you'd like to handle it that way.
That's the way it should be handled, yeah.
Barbara, do you mind, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, right.
Barbara, if you may relay that back to John, if he can come up with a cost figure on that.
I will.
I believe he did bring it to some of it to us about using some of the NIP money, but that was mainly for the vac truck, on doing some stuff with the vac truck. Nothing about the cost of the sweeper bags and everything. Some of that is already covered underneath his budget. So if he can bring a number to us, and I'll try to email him tonight when I get home, too.
Yeah, that would definitely be the plan, is I go back and talk to John, so he'd have something he'd be going to the committee with. And
that would be sent over to finance anyway.
He's going to need a scope of work. Like, what's he actually going to do?
Oh, yeah, I'll ask him for what.
With the NIP money.
I think that's stuff we could handle on Public Works.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Iron out the details there, not here.
Yep, absolutely, Kevin.
Thank you,
Barbara.
Great, that's all I have. Unless there are any questions.
I have a question.
Sure.
So a couple of weeks ago, you provided me a number for the reserve fund at $12,390,312, which worked out to 16.9% of the general fund expenditures. Now you're saying it's 12.4. Do you have the exact eight digit?
Well, that's rounding.
Oh, it's rounding?
Yeah.
So you don't have an eight digit number for me now?
Oh, yeah. If you look at page.
Five.
No, he's looking for the total.
All right, on page.
Page nine, isn't it?
Page 15. At the bottom of the general fund column on the left, you see fund balance unassigned 12.3.
On page 15?
Correct.
Yeah, bottom left.
Page 15, under the general fund column, way at the bottom, under fund balance, unassigned fund balance.
12,390.
12,390,000, so it's just rounded to 12.4. I do the financial highlights, and when I put in that 12-point, the actual number, the auditors went back and just shortened it and rounded up to the 12.4, and then from 16.9 to 17%. It's just rounding.
All right, thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Okay.
Chief? Mr. Davis, I didn't even see you there. I'm sorry.
Good evening. Will Blanchett, Chief of Police. First off, I came here tonight to give an update on the animal control facility. And after your impassioned speech, you mentioned putting Band-Aids on what we have now. And that's exactly what we're doing, and that's exactly what we're going to continue to do so we can get it to a place where our animals are safe. I want you to know that. So just giving an update, I did this for when we went 6 months after independence. Upon assuming command of Animal Control, July of 2023, I was advised by former Animal Control Officer Christian Swanson that the Montville Animal Control Facility, located at 225 Maple Ave, had failed state inspection and that major repairs or replacement of the facility were needed. ACO Swanson provided information gleaned from the state Animal Control Officer concerning deficiencies which need to be corrected. Among those deficiencies cited were temperature control within the building and less than sanitary conditions throughout the facility. The cleanliness of the facility was brought to light due to numerous birds which had been able to enter and reside inside of the facility and the amount of bird excrement inside of the structure. Our former ACO resigned in January 2024 for other employment. We do thank ACO Swanson for her years of service to the town and for the good job that she did. Since January of 2024, the position of animal control officer has been temporarily filled by Montville Police Officer Bruce Ribello. Officer Ribello has been working diligently with Assistant Animal Control Officer Tina Brown to bring the current facility to a point where we know our animals are receiving the proper care and have clean, sanitary living conditions. We have also created policies and procedures to professionalize the service provided to our residents. I will provide you with some of these changes that have occurred since January. New forms were created to track all day-to-day activities. Records documenting training and certification for the animal control officer and assistant animal control officer were created. We've developed policies and procedures for our ACO and assistant animal control officer, which include state mandates and best practices. State mandates include the use of body-worn cameras, and one was issued to our assistant animal control officer. The animal control facility was cleaned out with numerous old and unused items thrown away. By removing much of this clutter, it was determined that a window frame within the facility had been bent and wasn't closing properly. This was the entrance that birds were using to enter the facility, and since it's been fixed, there are fewer issues with birds and bird excrement. The fixing of the window also reduced the cold and hot air from entering the facility, and the current HVAC system appears to be keeping the climate within the facility at a constant and comfortable temperature. Our ACO and AACO believe that air conditioning in the summer and heating in the winter will not be an issue, as it has been in the past, although we will monitor that situation closely. The old tattered tarps were removed from the outside of the facility, and a donation of clear tarps was made, which allows the animals to actually enjoy the sun during daytime hours. The facility was deep cleaned, which includes the concrete floors, and much of the overpowering odor within the facility has subsided. The deep cleaning in conjunction with the HVAC system properly circulating the air has helped reduce the odors tremendously. The deep cleaning of the facility is an ongoing weekly process, and anyone who has seen the kennel before has commented on the vast improvement. Public Works has provided us with additional space inside of their facility to store needed equipment that is not being used on a daily basis. Public Works also replaced many of the dog flaps which are used to allow the animals to traverse into and outside of the facility, which has helped with temperature control. The pipes within the facility were cleaned, and there are no more water backups or smell of moldy water. A water test was ordered due to off-color water, and the results were received on Tuesday, May 7, 2024. According to Phoenix Environmental Laboratories, the water is now well within acceptable guidelines. However, there is a higher than average sodium level. Our ACO and Assistant Animal Control Officer continue to bring potable water into the facility to give to the animals. The hot and cold water at the facility is used for cleaning the kennels only. Assistant Animal Control Officer Tina Brown has been working very, very hard when it comes to finding good homes for our adoptable animals, and we are so lucky to have someone with such a genuine love of animals. Thank you again, Tina. We've requested quotes for repairing the concrete floors within the facility. Should this be a short-term solution to our larger looming issues, I've spoken with the Chief of Police at New London for temporary housing of our animal residents. It appears that if we epoxy these floors, the animals will need to be relocated for 5 to 7 days, which he said that they could facilitate. We've had numerous visits to our facility from many members of our state government, to include the Lieutenant Governor, State Senator, and state representatives. All have pledged their support as we continue to seek funding for repair or replacement of our shelter. The mayor's been exploring numerous options for our animal control facility, and I want to ensure both the council and our residents that we absolutely have the best interest of all of our animal guests in mind as we explore fiscally responsible solutions to this issue we are faced with. Our citizens have rallied support behind our animals, and we are so very appreciative. From the meetings at the public safety building to the money being raised at the recent pup rally, there is no doubt that Montville is an animal-friendly community. Just a reminder for people wishing to make donations, Officer Ribello has created an Amazon account with an online wish list for needed supplies. Many people have been using this Amazon account, and the shelter has been receiving many donations. The town of Montville has two separate funds which have been set up to support our animals in our facility. Fund 17 is set up to receive donations for animal care and maintenance, while Fund 82 is set up to receive donations for our animal control facility. As always, we continue all of your support as we provide professional police services to our townspeople and compassionately care for our animals. Thank you.
Mr. Davis?
Yeah, now I'm going to bore the living bejesus out of you. How do I follow that? I don't know, but thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Mayor, members of the council. Good to see you all again. I'm going to move through some of this pretty quickly. There's quite a lot of information here. If you have questions, you can feel free to stop me. You can always contact the mayor with inquiries, and we'll do the best that we can to answer your questions. So, with that, the mayor asked that I give you an update on the Mohegan Dam. The Mohegans did submit an application to the state DEP to remove the dam. Our town engineers reviewed that, had some concerns about some of the downstream culverts. We met on site with their project team. I believe the mayor was in attendance. They are going to analyze the two closest downstream culverts. They're going to use a 50-year storm event, I think, for that modeling, and then they'll get back to us. The obvious concern is that if there's any need for any kind of mitigation with those culverts, we'll have to negotiate that with the tribe and with the DEP. We're confident the DEP is not going to take any action until the town is comfortable with the design and the implications. So that's the Mohegan Dam. Happy to report that the cannabis regulations were adopted 6-0 unanimously by the Planning and Zoning Commission. I want to thank the members of the Economic Development Commission that came out and spoke in favor at the public hearing at Planning and Zoning. We have had one inquiry, actually I think it was the very next day, not for a retail facility, but for basically a grow facility, more on the kind of the manufacturing side of the equation. So there is interest apparently, and we'll report back to you if we have any more news to report. The pier, there's been some interest about the pier recently. The property owners requested a copy of the design drawings, the permit drawings, to review those. So we forwarded those to them about maybe a week or so ago. They reviewed those, and they have approved those. So we can now move forward with DEP permitting for the pier. So that's very good news. So we'll tell CLA to get that on the front burner and get those applications into DEP as soon as they can, so we can keep that going forward. CIF grant, Community Investment Fund, which you're all familiar with. You've gone through two rounds previously. They have a kind of a new twist this year. They have a planning grant. It's a straight $250,000. There's no local match for that. The purpose of this would be for us to create basically kind of a collaborative effort between Planning and Zoning and the Economic Development Commission to move forward on some of the recommendations in the 2022 POCD, specifically in the future land use plan. In your POCD, you identified some targeted investment areas. So if you look primarily at the Route 32 corridor, all the way from Waterford all the way north, you'll see that on the land use plan. And so what this grant application would allow us to do is, if we're successful in getting the money, is to have a planning program that would basically try to look at economic development in a variety of different ways, including housing. And by that I mean all forms of housing: affordable housing, workforce housing, elderly housing, special needs housing. We want to keep it fairly open and broad to capture as much as we can. We would take a look at these investment areas, and each of these is going to vary by their circumstances. Some might have utility issues in terms of water and sewer service. Some might be fine in that regard, but they might have some transportation or access issues. And then it kind of runs the gamut in between. So the end result would be hopefully a largely market-based strategy that is phased and prioritized to accomplish certain objectives, whether they be infrastructure objectives, whether they be programmatic objectives, whether they be identifying funding sources for moving forward on certain initiatives. That would be basically the target. The deadline for the application is June 21. They won't make a decision until later this year in the fall. We'd obviously have to do an RFP. I don't know if we do RFQs here, but that's an approach that we've used in the past that can be helpful. We can talk about that later. So the project kickoff wouldn't be until early 2025. They like to keep it to a maximum of 12 months for the program, for the planning program. I would love to do it in less than that. I don't really see the scope needing that much time, frankly. And I'd like to finish it up so that by the end of 2025, we would have the plan would be complete, we'd have some recommendations, and maybe we'd be laying the groundwork and the foundation to be able to go and get some additional grant money to do capital improvements or other things like that. So that's the SIF grant. We'll have a resolution on your agenda in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So you can take a look at that.
Is that going out to bid for the company to do that, or do we have like Gorman and York in line, or is that something?
Gorman and York had been retained by the town. You had a little bit of money for them to advise the Economic Development Commission. They came in and they did a presentation for the council, I understand, before I got here. There's a little bit money left in that right now. They've been helping me kind of preparing QC a little bit, just the initial concepts about the work program and the scope. So there's not much more money left in that. They would probably be one of the potential applicants or respondents to an RFP, I would assume.
So we are going to have an RFP for that?
I think we probably want to do that, either RFP or RFQ. In Groton, we used RFQs a lot of times where we would have a committee that would rank the applicants, and then the top scorer would be interviewed, and then you'd try to negotiate a work program and a scope and a budget,
right?
You know, and that kind of a thing. We could do that here, or we could do your conventional RFP.
I think RFQ is the right way to go for that.
I kind of prefer the RFQ if we could do that way. So are there any more questions on the SIF for now? Pretty good. Okay, thank you. Mayor and I talked about doing a pre-application review team, kind of a concept here. It's something that we've done in a lot of towns. I know people who are familiar with the development process. Oftentimes, it's good on the front end to kind of vet issues and resolve them to the extent you can in the design, so that when the formal application comes in, the process goes a lot smoother. I kind of characterize it as kind of the pay me now, pay me later kind of scenario. Oftentimes when you don't do a good job on the front end, you end up with approvals that have 42 conditions and, you know, a lot of questions and things that are kind of unresolved. So with the mayor's support, we're gonna try to put that together here. May meet once a month, may meet four times a month. You know, it depends on how much volume of activity that you have and those kinds of things. So I think that's going to be helpful to clients, helpful to design professionals, and helpful to the commissions, so that, you know, their work, you know, they can get their work done, I think, more efficiently at the meetings kind of thing. GIS, we are getting together tomorrow with IT and some others to start to work on some of the details of the outsourcing. As you probably know, we outsourced the GIS to a company, a consulting firm called CAI. And so that was kind of initiated before I got here. There were some, I think, ideas about how that might be done. Bill from IT was nice enough to work with me to kind of readjust those and kind of move in maybe a little bit different direction. So we'll be starting to work on that tomorrow. And hopefully move that ball forward as well. The state C&D plan is being updated. That's the conservation development plan from the state. They use that plan to evaluate a lot of grant applications and things of that nature. It has a lot to do with state consistency, state agency consistency, but it also applies to you know, local activities as well. I did take a quick look at it today, And I can say that I think there are some fairly significant changes that have to be made for it to better reflect Montville and Montville's interests, our plans, both in, as well as existing conditions, frankly. So we'll continue to take a look at that. I may bring it to the Planning and Zoning Commission with some initial comments and concerns, have a discussion with them, see if they want to have some input. But we'll have to get that back to they're running it through the COG, so I think we'll have to get that back to the COG fairly soon. So we have a Planning and Zoning meeting on the 28th, so we'll probably talk about that. The Regional, the COG, they're updating their open space plan. They've been working on this for quite some time, I think, the Regional Open Space Plan. So they put out a draft today. We'll take a look at that. We'll review that. We'll get them some comments back on that. If anybody has any interest, let the mayor know.
Is that going to be run through the Conservation Commission at all, the open space?
We could, absolutely, we can.
They're the ones who keep track of all the open space.
Yep, we can certainly pull them in and get some comments and some input feedback from them. Absolutely, absolutely. They did ask, the COG asked for comments back in 2 weeks. Okay. I'm not so sure that's going to be.
I think they meet tomorrow.
Doable, but if they meet tomorrow, then there you go. All right.
So you can catch you tomorrow.
So I'll make a note of that one. So that's for tomorrow. Oxabaxo Lofts, that's the 72-unit affordable housing projects down here at Faria. And happy to say that a couple of different things. They're going to be drawing down on their Brownfield grant. We got the first invoice, so that's good news. They're moving forward with that. And actually, the Council of Governments, the regional, is going to have a bus tour of affordable housing projects around kind of their area. And this will be one of the stops on the bus tour. So that's kind of nice. So we get to showcase that project down there.
How much is
well.
That Brownfield grant?
What's that?
How much is that Brownfield?
I think it was $990. Mm-hmm. $990, confirmed. So that's good news on that. You had previously gotten a grant for something called the Community Connectivity Grant, which I think Marsha Vaughn had actually started quite a while ago. And this is primarily for sidewalks on Route 32. It went kind of sideways a little bit a couple of years ago, where there was some concerns on DOT's part with respect to, I think, 32 and 163. So we're going to get that extended. We're in contact with them. DOT is going to extend that. And then we'll sit down with the town's engineers, and we'll kind of rescope and readjust and try to use that money maybe in another sidewalk approach somewhere on 32. So I just wanted to let you know that. And I think that's it. Sorry to go on for so long.
Well, thank you. That was very important. Thank you.
Details are good. Thank you.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you, Matt.
Thanks very much.
I just want to add that the CIF grant resolution did not get to us tonight. I ran out of time, and I dropped the ball, so it'll be here next week, next month, next meeting. Chief Blanchett, did you mention, if I missed it, I apologize, the OSHA inspection at the kennel?
I did not, Mayor.
Would you?
I didn't mention it only because I got the results. We also have some fines levied against us from Con OSHA for conditions at the kennel, which we're actively working to fix. A lot of that had to do with SDS sheets, safety data sheets. Obviously, the issue that we have is everybody is attempting to assist us in caring for these animals, and they're dropping off supplies, many of which are cleaning agents, and they're not listed on the safety data sheets. We don't have safety data sheets for them. So we're trying to figure out how we can negotiate this with staying in compliance with OSHA. There was also one electrical issue that we've already rectified.
But overall, there was a good report.
I don't know what's ever good if not OSHA comes in, to be honest with you.
Well, I meant the report.
But the report was, I mean, there are obviously safety improvements we can all make.
There was some tripping hazards.
Yeah, there was some tripping hazards with the grading and things of that nature, but nothing that is insurmountable. Or, you know, we can't fix it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for all your work out there.
Okay, in addition to those reports, I attended, have been attending multiple commission and committee meetings throughout the month, as I've been trying to meet as many as I can. Also, keeping up with the monthly staff meetings. I'm taking part in the union negotiations that are ongoing. We have 5 union contracts to negotiate. Our administrative assistant, Connie Melchiotti, her last day was April 12th. After 13 years and 3 administrations, she is retiring. Her replacement is Cindy Breton, and she started on her own on the 15th. So far, she's already shown her worth and a good hire, and I think she's going to do a lot for this town and for the mayor's office as well as the entire town hall. I met today with the new owner of the old drive-in theater, Sam Petrowski. Pleasant man. He's already offered to allow us to muster the parade entirely at the old drive-in theater, which is 1080 Route 32, by the way. He's done, everybody can see he's done a lot of work there already, and no, we do not know what's going on there. And I asked him point blank, and he said he didn't know. However, he's anxious to work with planning and zoning. He knows that a proper development of that piece of property is going to be good for the town. And he's willing to work hand-in-hand with us to come up with something that is beneficial not only to him, but to every taxpayer in this town. I attended the organizational meeting for the Route 163 Maple Avenue water tank. It's the old mill water tank that stands there in plain view. It's all rusting. The plan is to try to refurbish that to something that is properly reflecting the town's history and the future. That's a volunteer group that's getting together, and we'll be going out to the general public for suggestions on how we can display something that is going to be advertising to the town and benefit to the town. The people that own it now is DW Construction, or Connecticut Scrap. And he's pledged to help us as much as possible. He's already sent out the paint chips for to be analyzed, and a structural study to be done on the tank itself. We met with the commercial development company, formerly from West Rock and Stone Container. Discussion revisions to the lease of Dock Road property as it applies to the new fishing pier and boat launch. We did that with the planner. We're pretty confident that's going to be squared away and that project can move along. Had closing meetings with OSHA from the March 8th inspection, and the chief just reported on that. However, we did receive $15,000 in fines that we found out this past week. We're trying to abate them and negotiate those fines. The places of inspections were the WPCA treatment plant, one of the pump stations, public works, police station, and the transfer station and the kennel.
Mayor, wasn't it 1,500, not 15,000?
15,000.
15,000?
Yeah. I attended the Garden Lake Authority meeting. I met with the authority itself and the 3 towns that are planning the upcoming season. We think we've got a pretty good handle on the problems that are occurring on the lake with the activity. And the Garden Lake Authority has pledged an additional amount of money so that we can get our boat out there and try to provide some visibility and deal with the problems that everyone that any part of the lake sees what's going on there. On the 23rd of March, I attended the Quilts of Valor ceremony at Diana's at breakfast, put on by the Nyanic Bay Quilters, where they honored 6 veterans. And the quilts are individually made, and they're made with the individual in mind. So the branch of service that he was in and some of the things that he accomplished are on the quilt, and they're to provide a feeling of comfort and covering so they know that the people are behind them as vets. Attended the Connecticut Mirror Mohegan Sun sponsored conversation with the governor, and I had a personal conversation with the governor regarding the kennel, asking for his support. As a matter of fact, it was two conversations, one in the beginning, one in the end. Also met with Representative Cheeseman at the kennel facility on the 3rd, and she is working very hard to for support on that bonding. On the 1st, we signed the MOU between Local 818 and 2504 to give the responsibilities of the animal control officer to the police department. Let's see. I wasn't aware of any Freedom of Information request, and I checked with the Public Works Director just now by text, and he said someone did stop in but didn't identify themselves asking for samples of the water, which on the 30th he did do, and he had it tested by Phoenix Labs, and they found the water to be acceptable except for high sodium levels. I'd be interested to see a lab result that is detrimental to the animals. I'd like to see it. And as you all heard from Chief Blanchette, we're doing everything we can for the kennel, and we're doing everything we can for the existing kennel and the animals. I'm done.
Thank you, Mayor. All right, reports from standing committees. Town administration rules and procedures.
No meeting.
Finance, we've had a lot of meetings. At least eight. So we're still going through working on the budget, and we'll be meeting Wednesday to continue working on the budget. And that's all I have for that. Anything from you, Kevin or Joe? All right.
Nope. It's definitely that season for us to have a ton of meetings, and we're looking to get that closed out. And
yeah. Public Works Solid Waste Disposal.
The Public Works had a meeting, and we discussed about the trash on the side of the roads. The mayor has already contacted the having some of the prisoners do it and the town employees doing it. They are going to start cutting the brush back on the side of the road next week. The pavilion is going to start construction this week, probably depending on the weather, for the repairs. So that's been a long time coming, too. The cutting of the trees is ongoing. The vac system, they said that they're going to be doing some more of that, too, which would coincide with some of the stuff that Barbara talked about the NIP money. The NIP money, they coincide about using some of the NIP money to offset some of the pricing of doing some of the vac trucks. Onto the transfer station, everything like that is doing fantastic. A lot of new people wanting to use it, which the cost of doing the using the rubbish on the side of the roads is having to pick up is very expensive. And that's it.
All right, thank you. Reports from special committees and liaison counselors. Councilor Karen, Commission on Aging, Nonprofit Organizations, Social Services, and Volunteer Firefighter Relief Fund.
The Volunteer Fire Relief Fund, all the chiefs were present. So was the mayor and the finance director and the liaison from public safety. That was fantastic. They all brought all their information that needed. It was all approved. So that was moving on from there. Social Services, been a busy month again, close to 4,000 meals going out. The new freezer and refrigerator that had to be purchased has come in. I'm still do not have a date when we're going to do the grand open of Social Service Building in our food bank. The new alarms went on the freezer and walk-in freezer and walk-in refrigerator so that we'd they're constantly, you know, so we can get notified if something goes down through 911 so we don't lose the food for the needy. So that was something that was fantastic. The art show for the senior center was a great success. Thank you, counselors who showed up. It was is awesome. Our bus trip for Newport, which is 100% free to our seniors, has a waiting list of 33 people, and it's full. So we're trying to see if my job is to raise money for another bus trip for the seniors. So I'm actively doing that. Sent out the letters yesterday. What was the other one? Social Services, I already talked about that. Senior Center, again, I'll go back to that since I'm down there so much. They are the meeting that we did have with the Commission on Aging was talked about something what Matt had just brought up is about elderly housing, the need for the elderly housing in our town with the growing population is really the fastest is the seniors. And like I said, we have 2,150 members at our senior center. So that was a big deal. That was progress on that was, and I had brought that to the mayor about how much the need in our town for that. Also about new programs, our computers are all been hooked up, all new computers. So right now they're going to go from having them upgraded to certain programs that they need to having now we need to have our instructor because now we don't have our instructor for that. So that will go out too for our seniors. And that's about it.
Thank you. Volunteer firefighters relief fund meeting.
I already touched on the volunteer. Yeah, we did have our meeting with all four chiefs present with finance director and the mayor.
Good. Councilor Jaskiewicz, Board of Education, Planning and Zoning Commission.
Kate went for me on the Board of Education. I was sick that night.
Okay, so I attended the Board of Education meeting. They began their meeting with their Montville Marvels, which is personally my favorite part of the whole meeting because they recognize students and staff for the good things that they do in the school. They had several high school students that were awarded Montville Marvel due to their remarkable resilience and dedication and academic excellence, and I just want to read their names because they should be honored. Alexa Beams, Jacob Russell, Matthew Chen, and Abigail Danowitz. And they also had Jace Adams and Officer Kristen Todd as Marvels due for their response to the emergency event at the middle school. Several new policies were adopted, including allowing the superintendent to apply for grants without board approval for each grant she applies for. A new policy was created to adopt exit surveys for the staff that voluntarily resigns, and also a new policy that when a 17-year-old withdraws from the high school, they must enroll in adult ed, and also new policy to reflect the new start age of being 5 years old to enter kindergarten. They must be five by September 1st. And then there was also talk of the budget with the mayor's increase of 2.5%. They felt with staff contracts, unfunded mandates, and increases in special education funding that 2.5% would be detrimental and they would have to make cuts to the staff. And that's the report from them.
All right. Councilor Lathrop, Economic Development Commission and Water Police Control Authority.
So Economic Development Committee, Matt Davis touched upon that. Working a little more cohesively with planning and zoning and then working kind of like an action plan for Economic Development Committee moving forward in the future. It's one of those committees that kind of fails to get any traction because they don't have say with planning and zoning, they don't have say in different departments, so we're looking to try to evolve on that to make it something with a little more power to it. Water Pollution Control Authority, been some good progress up at the Cook Water Plant, Water Tower, if anyone's been up there, things are starting to move along good on that. And the next phase for the water line that feeds Rand Whitney for their gray water, the next phase is set to go on that, so there will be some construction delays on Maple Ave between like Bridge Street and that dip in the road where Daniels and Kobe Luck is, so prepare yourself for that.
So what about, are they going to repave that road, Rand Whitney, or is that road going to be repaved after they're done?
That's up to Public Works, sir.
Okay. If you don't mind, Mr. Chairman, yeah. But, repaving of that road right there will be done after it's all settled, after it's all done. We didn't have a time to go and talk with the WPCA about the repairs on that. Kevin and I will take the lead on that.
All right, yeah. Thank you, because I know it's in pretty bad shape.
If anyone's upset about that, generally they make a road sit for a year before they do a repaving on it so things can settle in through traffic use and everything. So there might be some time where, you know, Public Works will do some patching and stuff along the way. But there is a bigger plan in the picture.
All right. Thank you. Councilor Sebelia, Conservation Commission, Public Safety Commission, Youth Service Bureau, and Advisory Board.
All
Right. I'll start with the Conservation Commission / the Garden Club. The Garden Club is meeting every week, so if anyone's interested, I can get you contact info from Adam Heckel. He kind of took the lead on that. Tuesdays, they're at the Conservation Center at 9:30. Wednesdays, the Senior Center at 9:30. And Thursdays, Town Hall at 9:30. So they're doing a lot of work, and they're just trying to make our town more beautiful. So we appreciate that club big time, and feel free to join them. I don't know if you guys saw in the paper, but Avalonia is opening walking trails in Mottville / Basra. There's going to be like a 6 to 12 car parking lot and driveway on South Road. The new preserve actually abuts to the south by 340 acres of land that's already under conservation. There's trails running through that land too. So once that's completed, we'll try to advertise that a little more. I know the commission is kind of working on a way to get all our trails in like a central location so everyone could easily check them out. A lot of them are on like all trails and apps like that. So youth services, they'll be having Mental Health Monday at Ben and Jerry's. That's Monday, May 27th, 6 to 9 p.m. They're going to be scooping ice cream and promoting mental health awareness. They'll also receive 10% of the sales, so come join them for some ice cream. They're also doing Mental Health Fridays at the high school. They set up a table in the cafeteria. They have giveaways, mental health awareness materials, QR code for resources. The Tower Project, the mayor kind of touched on that, but they're having a part in that as well. And they wanted to thank Dave Waddington and GHP LLC. They're picking up the cost for the engineering and the lead paint testing. So they also had YSB, the Youth Service Bureau Day at the Capitol. So 178 people attended from youth services throughout the state. We attended with 6 students. Josie English, she sat on the interactive panel with students from other towns. It was mostly on youth empowerment and just connectivity. There was a lot on just youth disconnectedness, so trying to work on solutions for that. You might have noticed there's also suicide prevention 988 signs going up. So there's one down at the Conservation Center, and I believe they said 10 or 12 other spots in town. 15% of suicides actually happen in parks, so they thought those were good locations. There's QR codes you can scan with your phone for different resources, so we appreciate them doing that. They also did a drug take-back day. Kim, Barb, Detective Noyes, along with students, they collected 117.5 pounds of drugs, prescription drugs, so that was a huge success, just getting those out of possibly in the wrong hands. Everyone who dropped off the drugs was also given a lockbox for safer containment, so that's a positive. Public Safety Commission kind of talked on the Gardner Lake Authority. They gave the PD the patrol boat contract, so that's going to be huge, helping out down there. I know it can be a mess, so. Lieutenant Radford also recognized officers who received performance observation reports. Officer Dan Witz and K-9 Officer Sig assisted Eastline PD with apprehending a fleeing suspect. And Officer Brian Kelly also just happened to be driving by on the highway. He assisted a state trooper who was fighting with a suspect. So that was huge help, and shout out to Mottville PD. There was also almost 1,500 calls for service, 630 citations, a lot of written warnings, 533. That's the high rate of written warnings was because of the grants we received, so thank you guys for that. The high-risk rural roads speed enforcement grant, distracted driving, and the DUI grant. So those are all working together to help safeguard our town. So thank you guys for that, and that's all I got.
All right, thank you.
Good. That's
really good. Yeah. Councilor Southard, Farmers Market, Library Committee, and Parks and Rec Commission.
Okay, Library Committee, there was no meeting. Farmers Market Committee met last week, approved vendors, secured their music nights. We have music for all the week scheduled. Still looking for guest vendors, and also our second market, which is on June 25th, is community night. So if you know anybody that works in Mottville, has a business in Mottville, a nonprofit that would like to come to the market that night, you could just go to our website and send us an email, and we'll get them a space.
Say June 25th?
June 25th.
Thank you.
Yeah. And the Parks and Recreation Commission. The bands have been lined up for the summer concert series that happened at Camp Oakdale last year. Fireworks contract is signed for the carnival. That will be on the Saturday night of the carnival, which is June 15th. We had our annual Easter egg hunt. We had 200 kids attend the hunt in the early afternoon, and 59 attended the flashlight Easter egg hunt. The community center, there is a community center group that is looking to contract with a company to prepare preliminary cost estimates and feasibility options for a new community center that was a subcommittee appointed last year. The chair also appointed a job description subcommittee to review and make changes of job descriptions. There's a lot of part-timers that they have job descriptions, but it seems that there's a lot of confusion as to whose duties are whose, and they want to begin to clear that up.
Thank you. So, moving on to appointments and resignations. To consider and act on a motion to accept the resignation of William
Pinedas.
Oh, why am I messing that up? From Building Code Board of Appeals and Southeastern Connecticut Water Authority, effective immediately.
So moved. With regret.
Second.
Any discussion? Well, that's really a shame because I've known Bill's been doing a lot of good work for the town, so it's sad to see him go. All right. Roll call, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. Consider and act on a motion to appoint Micah Messier to the Youth Advisory Board with a term to expire on May 13th, 2026.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. All in favor. Consider and act a motion to appoint Brenda Dean to fill a vacancy on the Farmers Market Committee with a term to expire on March 26, 2025.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. All in favor. Consider an act and motion to reappoint Adam Heckel to the Conservation Commission with a term to expire on June 11th, 2026.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. To consider and act on a motion to accept the resignation of Sheila Lipinski for the Youth Advisory Board, effective immediately.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All right. Roll call, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. All right. Unfinished business. To consider an act and a motion to discuss the progress of the animal control facility. I believe, Mayor, you were discussing that earlier.
I have no more to add.
I have stuff to add.
So we have to make a motion?
Well.
No, it's discussion.
Discussion. Yeah, consider an act on a motion to discuss it.
Oh, yeah, got to give me a.
Make the motion to discuss it.
Yeah.
I second it.
All in favor?
Favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Mr. Unick.
Thank you. Thank you. So, last week, I requested to place two resolutions on the council meeting agenda, and as you can see, they were not included in the agenda tonight. I'll get to that part in a bit. The first resolution I wanted to put on here was to utilize $2 million from our reserve account to fund the construction of an animal control facility in our town. Our finance director was able to get us the number in the reserve fund, and reports that the fund currently has $12,390,312, or roughly $12.4 million, which is 16.9% of the general fund expenditures. The recommended amount for keeping funds in the reserve account is between 12 and 16%. Anything lower or higher could be problematic. With our number at 16.9%, the town could easily remove $2 million from the surplus fund, which would put us around a percentage of around 14%, right in the middle of where we should be. Under Section C-705A, Financial Powers in the Town Charter, this matter would not need to go to a referendum. We can do this with a resolution in a town meeting, as the requested amount of $2 million does not exceed 5% of the tax levy. The current tax levy in town is $44.5 million. $2 million out of that is 4.9%, which is below the 5% threshold. This option could have been done with zero tax burden on our citizens by utilizing the money we currently have in our reserve account. The second resolution I tried to put on the agenda was regarding bonding the $2 million to construct the animal shelter, similar to the way we do it when we bond road projects. Under Section C-709, borrowing of the town charter, it clearly states that borrowing money in excess of 5% of the tax levy would require a referendum. But because the $2 million is only 4.9% of the tax levy, we again could do this by resolution and a town meeting. This option does have a tax burden to the citizens, but it would be spread out over years and offset by other bonds that are expiring. Now the disturbing part. These agenda items, which were submitted within a week's notice, more than enough time to be placed on the agenda, were removed by Town Council Chairman Tim May. They were removed without consulting me, without so much as a courtesy phone call. I only found out that they were removed after I emailed the secretary on Friday morning, and she told me that neither would be included on the final agenda. As a duly elected town councilor, I have every right to add items to the agenda to be discussed or, in the case of a resolution, voted upon. Neither the town council chairman nor the mayor have any right to silence dissenting opinions. I sent an email to the entire council and the mayor insisting that this egregious move be rectified and demanding that these resolutions be put back on the agenda. I received zero responses to that email from any of the town councilors. I did, however, receive a phone call from our mayor. He told me he understood what I was trying to do, but in his words, this is the way it is. When I pressed him to clarify and asked him if it was only himself and Chairman May who could get anything done, his response to me was, yep. He then told me I could, quote, do what I had to do, end quote, before hanging up on me. I cannot tell you how disturbing this is to realize that some officials think the town of Mottville is no longer a constitutional republic governed by an elected body with rules set forth in the town charter. I understand my Democrat colleagues hold the mayor's office and a supermajority on the council. I understand that they could outvote me at every turn. If I thought it would make a difference, I would make these resolutions now, as we could vote on it now, but not one of them would vote to go along with it. For the past 6 months, these council chambers have been filled with citizens, with taxpayers, with voters who have been telling us they want this project to proceed. I have not heard one person come up to that microphone and say they didn't want it to happen. I have not heard one person on this council say they did not think the matter of the animal shelter needed to be resolved. This town has been kicking this down the road for years. Delays will only make this project cost increase. Had we done this years ago, at the recommendation of the Public Safety Commission after they looked into the matter, the cost would have been $1 million. But the town council at that time, which included Councilors May, Karen, and Councilors Bunnell, completely dropped the ball. Today, the cost is over $2 million. If we wait, it's only going to go up. I have brought forward several options that would resolve the problems with our failing animal control facility, from building a new one to joining with other agencies, options that could be accomplished with little or no tax increases. All are met with placating words and empty promises. Sadly, it is apparent that our mayor has no desire to build the animal control facility. He insists on continuing to push the matter off, saying we should wait and see if we get grant money again after being denied that grant money time and time again. It is apparent by his wasting of the town's money, by putting putty and paint on the old facility, by putting up new tarps, by hiring an architectural firm to look at the old facility to see how we can improve it, all the while knowing that it is structurally impossible to bring the facility up to state code, all the while knowing that the state will permanently close down the shelter in 2029. He does this hoping you will all shut up and go away. He does this knowing that he won't be the mayor in 2029 and this will be someone else's problem. He and the Democrat counselors who failed to stand up for this project are forgetting that they were elected by you and that they work for you. This is our town. This is the town that we all love. I have fought hard to make this project come to fruition. I am speaking for the animals, for those who have no voice. And your voices matter too. I implore you not to shut up and go away. I implore you to continue to fight for what you know is right. Tell your friends, your family, tell total strangers on the street what's happening. We can get this accomplished. We just have to keep going the course.
I'd like to say a few things. Councilor Unick, you were somewhat correct in some of that, but you were also way wrong. No,
Let him talk. Come on.
The agenda was put in, or the resolution was put in. It did not come to the chair, as required by the town council rules. It went straight to the recording secretary. I didn't even wasn't aware of this. I was actually in Ireland, and I came aware of it on Wednesday, and I saw the email correspondence from the town clerk who recommended not to do this because, number one, it has to go to the finance committee for any type of financial encumbrance on the town, regardless of where you're taking it from the fund balance or not. It did not go to the finance director, nor did it go to the finance committee for their recommendation. It also, we have to, the finance director has to seek some directions for any type of bonding from the bond council, which they did. That was in the email recommending you not to do this. So it was by the recommendation of the town clerk, the bond council, who we pay for to help us, because if you take money out of the fund balance, our bond abilities goes down, okay? So we have to do it. Also, the town attorney has to be involved in the wording of these resolutions. Now, you're making this political. And you're whipping up the town and going on Facebook and saying all these things that are not correct. So, you know, I'm not going to get on Facebook and challenge you, but if you're not going to look at the rules that the town council has to follow, number one, that any agenda item has to go to the town, the chair, right? That's in the rules. I run the agenda. That's my job. I have to make sure everything is done correctly, and it wasn't. And so it was not put on for that reason. If you want to work with the finance director and you want to work with the town clerk and work with these people to get it on there and let's do it right, let's do it. But putting something in a week before and not having a chance to even look at it and have our staff respond to it and putting the town in a precarious spot is disingenuous, and it's not the way we should be doing business as town councilors. And furthermore, You mentioned 2018. I questioned about this thing going to a building committee. And at the time, Councilor or the chair, Tommy Nally, said, no, you set up another committee. Now we have drawings that are way over-designed. And since then, we've had Silver Purcicelli, the same architect, look at it. And they're looking at, we need much less of a structure, much less of a thing. So you're telling a lot of things out there that, in my opinion, are not fair to the town citizens. And I do want to know, Michelle, we're going to have it done. And we're making progress now to make it so that it's a habitable place, because we got to build one. And we are going to build one. But saying it's a Democrat-Republican thing, that's wrong. Very wrong. And I think I'm ashamed of you making those accusations, because that's exactly what you just did.
Well, I'd like to respond to that also.
Okay. So anyway, moving on.
Oh, I don't get to respond to your...
What is there to respond to? You made your point. You made all your stuff. You told everybody in the group that, you know, we're not going to do something when we're working. I was just meeting with the mayor today to talk about this.
Okay.
I've met to see, hey, what can we do to keep going on this? Where can we get money? Right? It's a big deal. This is a lot of money. And you just said we have money in our third. We haven't even finished the budget yet. You know, you can talk to... Chairman Jaskiewicz and Councilor Lathrop here, we're still in the middle of it. We're going to have to use some of this money to offset taxes, right? And you just said tonight, we can just take money out and go spend it when you haven't even talked to the finance director if we really have it. So I want to move on.
Okay. Well, yeah, but wait, I was part of that email that you were sent to and then called Katie, and Katie said it wasn't done correctly. I understand what you're trying to do, but we also got to follow. We have to, where our bond is telling us, the bond people that control it, that we can actually, if we would do it that way and it was approved, it's going to come back to them anyways. So it would be obsolete to do it, because we would prove it, then it would be sent back to them. They would say it wasn't approved. So I understand what, when our town clerk was saying, no, to do it this way. She was trying, I think she was getting aggravated at you and I. But because I was just questioning, too, how do you do this like this? And she said, it's supposed to go to the town attorney. And then the bond lady, she chimed in. But to be honest, it's not a Democrat or Republican thing. It really shouldn't play that way, because I was on the prior council where you were in control of it. And guess what? The same procedures you just said could have worked then. And you had the four votes. And it wasn't done then. So it's not Democrat. It's about the pets. It's about, are they animals? At the end of the day, they're not Democrat or Republican. They're our pets. So, yes, I want the dog kennel. I do. I want to do it the right way, get it done. I mean, I know Ms. Cheeseman said that the bonding is looking good. I think that's what she said. I think, is yeah. that?
She said one, it's a done that, deal. She told me it's like, a done deal.
So we're hoping to do that. I met with the governor, too, with the mayor, and pushed for it and said, same with Senator Austin the other day. But I never like to play those games of Democrat or Republican or unaffiliated. I don't like to do that, because, you know what, we're the voice of a lot of people. And when we get elected, our name tag doesn't say Democrat or Republican on there. It just says who we are and who we work for. So I definitely want this to go to the public. I definitely want it. I think it's needed. And you know what, that's all I have to say on that. I'm not going to beat it up.
Well spoken. But Billy said it's true. When you were in charge, if the same thing happened, you would have said, we're wrong. Let's not do that. Let's be together. We're going to work at this together. And we will. I'm sorry, folks, but you're impatient about what's getting done, aren't you? Let's be honest about it. You are.
Yes.
Thank you. But we got to do it right. We want to do it right. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Can't blame years on me. Can't blame years now. Never mind. If we're going to do it, we're going to do it right. You want it done right?
Wait a minute. This is not a public debate.
That's my fault.
It's a discussion amongst the council, amongst this issue. And if there's not anything else to discuss on this, we're going to move on. Anybody else want to discuss the motion? All right, new business. The town of Mount Vilbury resolves to refund taxes due to overpayments and corrections in the amount of $4,710.87.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All right, roll call, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. The town of Montville hereby resolve to waive all in-kind services for the 2024 Montville Carnival related to police, fire, and public works in the amount of $6,390.
Second.
Any discussion? All right. Roll call, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. The town of Montville hereby resolves to authorize Mayor Leonard Bunnell Sr. to enter into a contract with Southeastern Connecticut Council governments, for the provision of building code enforcement trainee services.
Someone.
Hey, you want to explain that just a little bit?
We get a second, please.
Second.
Second.
All right.
I just want to say that this is an attempt to resolve the building department problems by lack of a building official. We're down a building official, and we're down an assistant building official, and relying on the services of COG to give us a 2-day-a-week building official. We're also employing the use of a contractor and the part-time building official for 1 day a week. This is a long-term plan to get somebody that the COG will hire as a trainee, and he will train on Montville's dime here in town for 3 weeks. And after the end of 3 weeks, he will take a test for the residential building official for the state of Connecticut. And if he passes that, then we will hire him as a building inspector 3. That's the entry level. And we'll try to work him up into the ranks to take over, work his way up into the building assistant building official. The short-term goal is to negotiate a contract with Maine and try to improve on what we can offer the building official and maybe attract somebody also. But this is, if it'll help us get somebody in place that is willing to take on added responsibilities.
Thank you.
Any more discussion? Roll call, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. All in favor? 16D, the town of Montville hereby resolves to set the wage scale for seasonal help at the Water Pollution Control Authority in the range minimum wage to $21 per hour until such time as amended.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All right. Roll call, please.
Favor.
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 Favor. All right. This time, remarks from the public with a 3-minute limit.
Dave Rod from Lieutenant Montville Police. I was so entranced by the planner's report before I forgot to stand up and give what I was going to say, so I'm going to do it here. I wanted to mention, first of all, that if anybody's not aware, this week is the Law Enforcement Week down in Washington, D.C. It kicked off on Saturday with a canine ceremony the National Police Dog Foundation put on for fallen canines. A small group of the Montville officers attended. There were 25 canines added to the memorial, one of which was our own canine, Barrett, that had to be put down last year. As we speak right now, the 118 officers are being added to the wall for the ceremony from last year. As part of this event, Montville's own Officer Michaels represented the PD in the Unity Tour, which is a group of officers that bike, our leg biked from New Jersey to Washington, D.C., a 300-mile bike. She did that in honor of Canine Barrett and Officer Joseph Sacchitella. So I just wanted that to be known.
Outstanding.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
In response to the Freedom of Information request, it was submitted on April 26th to DWD compliance at ct.gov it was submitted by David Turner on behalf of our Montville Community Shelter team. And I can send you that email if you'd like. I just have a few questions. I won't take too long. And I know you can't answer them right now, but maybe you can get me an answer. Is additional water testing scheduled as the level of contaminants change with dilution? Is this the first time that the water has been tested in 23 years? And can we gain access to previous testing?
I don't know.
Okay. Mr. Mayor, from 2019 to 2023, you sat on this council And during this time, the pound failed inspections on 3-1-21, 2-22-22, and 1-5-23, all presented to the council. On October 24th, 2023, the plans were for this new shelter were presented to the Planning and Zoning Committee. And the plans for the shelter included the site plan that listed this well as contaminated on it. You were appointed mayor in November 2023. A failed inspection report hit your desk on 12/13/2023. All reports cited the violation ID number 13964. Water is not potable. Well does not pass for humane consumption. Yet no action was taken until the citizens of this community started investigating. As a business owner, if I'm not proficient at something, I ask people on my team that are. Contacting water and chemical specialists, as well as not one but three veterinarians, to get to the bottom of the water situation. As an animal trainer, I've learned to leave my ego at the door and wear humility like a coat. It's because of that I can reach out for people better equipped to answer questions if ultimately benefits the animals. In this case, I ask you to refer to people better qualified to make this decision that are in the best interests of the animals in this town. This community calls for the town of Montville to immediately cease and desist from using water from this well that's labeled as contaminated. We would like a guarantee that no water is to be consumed by any animal, and it will not be used for washing bowls, bedding, or runs. Ingestion of too much salt can also cause sodium ion poisoning in pets, incoordination, excessive thirst, seizures, and severe brain swelling. This town has demonstrated that animal welfare has a price, and that decision about years of neglect are divided down party lines. To me, these decisions have a direct relation to the depth of human compassion, and that knows no party lines. Amelia's life was a casualty of the delays in the decision-making, while this shelter desperately waits for a hero. We aren't waiting for a hero anymore. This shelter's heroes had filled this council's chambers. They have signed petitions, they have shared this plight on Facebook and littered newspapers with it. They have purchased signs, t-shirts, and have unified at rallies. We aren't asking you, Mr. Mayor, to be their hero. We're asking you to do your job.
Senator Kathy Austin.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you still being here. I actually had another commitment right before this and was driving from Coventry here, which is exceptionally long distance from Montville. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about the animal control facility and sort of give it the history that I have been involved in the animal control facility here in Montville. And I appreciate everybody's hard work on this. And I started working on the animal control facility and looking for answers to the animal control facility about 2.5-3 years ago now, trying to have the administration who, in just to back up a little bit, to give a little bit of an explanation on how bonding happens in the state of Connecticut. So I signed letters of support for the Community Investment Fund that had been submitted twice, and three times bonds for this facility in the amount of $2 million. And what we do in order to get a bond and a request by the legislature, we submitted first a request for a bond as a bill in the legislature, and I authored it and had all of my four other colleagues sign on to it in a bipartisan manner, because that's how we get things done. And in Eastern Connecticut, we're very much a bipartisan group of people. So Representative Cheeseman, Representative McCarty, Representative Ryan, and before Senator Marks was there, Senator Formica. And so we all put in a request to get $2 million. The administration decides what goes on the bond agenda, nobody else. But this last year, what I've also had working in favor of all of us was the mayor here wrote a letter to everybody on the bond agenda as that sits on the bond committee. Every single person got a letter, and every single person called us up and said, what's going on in Montville? What are we talking about? They need an animal control facility. And we told them what was going on. That made a difference, so we have some interest in other counselors who sit on the bond commission. That includes, but it's not limited to, the treasurer and the comptroller. Both of them said that they would talk to the governor to see if they could convince him to put this on the agenda. We are being told that there will not be a bond commission meeting until late April, or maybe not until June. We're hoping that we can get this through. And again, all five of us have submitted letters of support. We have met with the governor and his staff. We have met with his chief of staff. We have met with other people that can help make this decision. We keep pushing the issue and say how important it is. And I think Joe's telling me I'm getting past my 3-minute time frame.
No, I just want to make sure
you can have my 3 minutes.
I want to make sure you all know that this has not been an issue of politics. This has been an issue of a sheer need. And Montville, like the other many of the other communities that I represent, is a distressed municipality. They've proven the fact that this is a need of the community. It's a regional. It will be a regional asset once it's completed. And I want to thank each and every one of you up there for working on it. I also want to thank the community for not letting anybody forget about them. They've done a lot of work on this issue. I think it's, I'm very grateful for them doing that. It's made it easier for someone like me to push the issue because each and every one of you have said something, and I appreciate it because it shows that you have a commitment. But this this group up here does have that same commitment and has pushed the issue. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to Billy Caron or Lenny Bunnell or Kate Southard on the issue of this animal control facility and how important it is for each and every one of us to push forward getting this done. And you have my commitment that I'll continue to work on it. And I want to thank you again, and I want to thank all of you for doing the work that you do. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you, Kathy.
Adam Elkins, 31 Bridge Street. You know, I just wanted to say that, you know, you guys are talking about this being a political issue, and I am a Democrat. I voted for all of you, you know, and yet I stand here today in support of Robert, and he's winning my vote, you know. So I just wanted to say that actions speak louder than words, and I haven't heard what your guys' plan is to get this done. You know, it needs to be done. Everyone agrees with that. You guys are saying you want it done, and actions speak louder than words. Please build the shelter.
Good evening. It's been a real education tonight for someone who is not from Montville to see such a packed house on such a passionate issue. I am from the town across the river. I am from Gales Ferry, part of Ledyard. I'm here tonight on my own voice as a taxpayer and a resident of Ledyard and the area. But I want to thank you all, commissioners and councilors, for your work for this community, because lots of hours are put in here by volunteers and passionate community members, and the value of that is just absolutely priceless. So I'm always thrilled to be able to come up and speak in a democratic process like this. So thank you for having for me from across the river. I'm here tonight because I wanted to bring to your attention something that affects or will affect Ledyard as well as Montville on this side of the river. It's something that will affect us very much, both of our communities. And that is, you've probably been following the day newspaper articles on a proposal by the Cashman Corporation that is the new owner of the Dow Chemical facility in Gales Ferry. And that is their big quarry proposal that was submitted and in process up until early February in Gales Ferry, and then it was withdrawn. So I think most of you are familiar with what I'm talking about? Yeah? Okay, generally speaking. All right, good. I just wanted to make you aware that that application in a reworked form has been resubmitted to our Planning and Zoning Commission on April 11th after being withdrawn in their first version in early February. So I wanted to make Montville aware. And why do I see a need to personally come and tell you this? Because I like to voice my opinion in person. I think in-person communication is needed a lot more these days, so here I am. Also, after the application was resubmitted on April 11th, very abruptly and very arbitrarily, our Mayor Allen, who I'm sure you know, fired our planner on April 25th. And I say abruptly because when you called the office, they just said that our planner was gone. And I had just talked to her a few days before. And through a Freedom of Information request on my part, I got to see the termination letter. And there's no reason or rhyme as to why she was removed. And this distresses me and our community very much. So if you, I just wanted to make you aware that if you wanted to call up our planning and zoning office and talk to our planner, you will not be talking to Juliet Hodge, like who knows so much about this entire quarry proposal. You'll be talking with Liz Burdick, who arrived within two business days of Juliet Hodge leaving. So that's who you'll be talking to. And we are also understaffed in that office, so that if you did call up, please know that their workload is exceptionally large, because we have several large planning and zoning applications coming up and going into public hearing. So the workload of our planning and zoning right now is going to be exceedingly tough to manage. For all the working parts that public hearings need, it's going to be exceedingly hard for all concerned, the public and our officials, to make it all work sensibly and have mindfulness come to bear on the whole thing. I think I will submit to you an interesting exhibit number 25 from the first quarry proposal that is from residents of Uncasville. This is on the record, so they have no problem with me presenting it here. It is from Phil and Denise LaPierre of 6 Point Breeze Road, Uncasville, Connecticut. And I won't take the time to read it, but they seem to share a lot of the concerns about this historic site having a quarry proposal put upon it, those concerns being health, safety, noise concerns, sound, dust, blasting, tranquility and peacefulness, certainly not going to be the norm for perhaps over a decade. This is Mount Decatur. I think I failed to actually mention that the place where the quarry is being proposed is the southern end of the Cashman property, and it is a historic site related to the War of 1812, and it's called Mount Decatur. So this is that letter. So I think I'll submit it so that you can all see the views of Phil and Denise LaPierre and their concerns about this proposal. And I will leave you with the official application name. It is PZ24-3SUP and PZ24-4CAM. Those are the official names of that application. Am I forgetting anything? Okay, yes I am. I'm forgetting to say that we would hope that you not only take this information and awareness to heart. This is happening, that this process is in play. Yes, I have forgotten. I've forgotten to tell you that the date of the public hearing will be here before you know it on June 13th. And that I would urge the Town Council of Montville to look into this application and study it and put in a letter for, against, or however you think your response would be most appropriate. But I would ask you to engage as a Riverside community opposite our own, because this quarrying proposal that could possibly last up to 10 years and remove 3/4 of Mount Decatur will affect not only our community, your community, but the entire southeastern Connecticut. So,
thank you very much.
Any questions? Did I tell you that I'm Ian Roberts Pearson from 4 Anderson Drive in Gales Ferry? Maybe I forgot to tell you that.
That's okay.
I think when we all get up to a podium, we just assume that everybody knows us for some strange reason, and that is certainly not the case.
Thank you.
Humility on all our parts is necessary, obviously. Who should I
give this to? To our recording.
Thank you.
To briefly follow up on the previous speaker.
You state your name and address, please.
Douglas Schwartz. I'm from Groton. I think it's imperative for Montville to participate in the process, because this is going to have a permanent impact. As she mentioned, 10 years of blasting hundreds of feet off your shore. Many of us have attended fireworks in Norwich Harbor, and you know how the sound reverberates off the amphitheater that the harbor forms. This thing is going to be basically an amphitheater pointed right at Uncasville. It's going to drive pets nuts. I think we might have a few pet fans here tonight. The historic value and the landscape value of the mountain intact as it is invaluable. The American Battlefield Trust, Preservation Connecticut, National Trust for Historic Preservation, Archaeological Conservancy, and many other entities and individuals have weighed in to urge that this not be done. I have 3 press articles relating to the blasting contractor that is proposed to operate the quarry. One from New Hampshire about a fly rock incident which sent boulders flying hundreds of feet from the quarry. Fly rock kills people every year in mining incidents. Easily travel across the river. It can travel thousands of feet. In this instance, boulders the size of basketballs flew through the air. I'm not going to read the whole thing. Another one is the town of Augusta, Maine, where the city council grappled for years with the dust, noise, cracks in foundations, reduced property values from a quarry in a residential neighborhood. This is the wrong place. By the way, there's a year-round eagle population on top of the mountain there. But it's the wrong place, and it will stir up a hornet's nest of your residents if this is allowed to pass. So I urge you to take action and weigh in with the town of Ledger. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Remarks from the public? With a 3-minute limit. I'm just reading a paper. No.
Carol Howard, 23 Bayberry Lane. Chair May, I don't know if I heard you correctly when you were speaking, but you mentioned something about State Representative Holly Cheeseman, and she said it's a go, or you had made some type of a comment like it was a sure thing. I spoke with her at the rally, and the bond is not a sure thing or whatever they're working on. So if I misunderstood you, I apologize, but I just wanted to make clear that I spoke with her, and it's not a sure thing that we're going to get that money. I've stood here several times now, and I stand here again tonight, and I look at each and every one of you on the council, and I ask for action. Enough. And I know we say it takes time and stuff like that, but I challenge you to come back to next month's meeting with an alternative if we don't get the bond. We are in May. So action, 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 action. Thank you.
All right. Remarks from the public, last time. All right. Remarks from the councilors. Mr. Yutnik.
Oh, thank you. Since I couldn't respond to your remarks earlier, Chairman May, I'm going to respond now. You said a couple things that I think I need to respond to. You said my resolutions weren't put on the agenda because I didn't submit them to you, but I submitted them to the secretary when she sent an email out asking for items for the agenda. So if you want them to go to you, perhaps you should send the email out and we'll all know to send them to you. You also said that my resolutions were inappropriate because we have to do all these things with committees and finance people and jump through hoops. That could all be done after we take the resolution, say we're going to act on this matter. Just because we pass a resolution that says we're going to do something doesn't mean we break ground tonight. It's a process. We all understand that, but at least that shows that we're getting the ball rolling. You can always go and get all your ducks in a row later and get all the people to do the actual bond thing on board and get it done that way. And you said another thing about backwards. The architectural drawings are too big and not what we needed. Are you talking about the ones we just paid $125,000 to get done? That you don't feel those are good now?
No, they're excessive.
They're what?
They're excessive.
They're excessive?
That was brought up.
Okay.
Yeah, they are. There would be an excellent, if we had $2 million or $3 million to build it, I'd love to do it, but we also got to look at the taxpayers and what we could do. We actually need that much of an animal control facility?
Okay.
There's questions on the internet that no one's answering. There's lots of people that actually asked, what does the town of Montville actually need? Do we need 13 dog runs and three other runs for that? No one said, where was the building committee on this? There wasn't one. There was a lot of things that weren't done on this early on. And I know we need a new facility. We're going to get a new facility. But does it have to be that large? No one's ever said that this is what we need or exactly what Montville needs.
Well, there were actually two committees.
And that's what the mayor is doing, a need study to make sure that we got the right size facility. We're working hard on this. And we're going to get an animal control facility. But stop saying that, you know, it's a Democrat thing, this and that, we're not doing it. It's just insane. Okay. And throwing something up at the last minute, right before thing, knowing, you know, I didn't see that early on, and I should be CC'd whenever you sent that, especially on something like this, because there is legal wording that has to be done for any resolution when it involves money or assets of the town. The people of the town need to see it, and it needs to be done prepared correctly, and it also has to be done. And the town clerk explained that in her email, and the bond council explained it in an email. And you failed to listen, and you kept pushing it out, and now you're making it a thing that I'm the bad guy. And that's what you're doing. I'm not going to get on Facebook and challenge you and do all the other stuff your associates do and say, but we're working to get this going. And to this day, no one has said there has never been a requirements document for that animal control facility that those plans we spent $125,000 for. And that's a fact. And we need it. We need that. You don't just go build a building and say, it's good.
All right. Well, I would also like to thank all of you in attendance tonight. For the past 6 months, many of you have given up your time to come here to try to make this goal a reality. You've packed these chambers, you've signed petitions, you've held rallies, printed signs and shirts, and you deserve better than what you're getting right now. I've been asked why I'm fighting so hard to try to resolve this issue. My reasons are twofold. For the past 14 years, I have been an animal control officer. I know what it is to do the job and what's needed. I've seen the good and the bad in humanity, and I know what it's like to work in subpar conditions with administrators who don't care. I recognize that most of them don't want to hear it. They want you to shut up and go be the dog catcher. But we are blessed to live in a part of the country that cares about the animals, that cares about how we do our job as animal control officers. And I see the heartfelt compassion of our citizens every day. I see it when I look out in the audience, and I know we can do better. So don't give up. Keep fighting, and we'll get there. Thank you.
Councilor Lathrop.
I want to thank everyone who attends the meetings and continues to attend and push the issue. The pup rally was a beautiful event that some people from the town put together. I don't know how many people actually got to attend that. It was a really nice event. It showed a lot of support there. We know it's a pushing issue, and we are also pushing forward on it. An old joke was always in construction, town things move slow, state things move slower, and federal things barely move. So there is a process to everything. We are trying to work through it. We do want the dog kennel, but seeing all those orange shirts out there and their purple print, it shows great support. So thank you.
Yeah. Not sure.
I just wanted to address the potable water thing. As far as I know, once they found out it was not potable water, they were bringing water in from Public Works to give to the dogs. So I don't think we'll look into that, but I can't imagine. That's kind of insulting to Christine Swanson, who worked there for years, and Tina Brown, because I don't think they would feed and give water to animals that is not safe for them to drink. Correct, because they were bringing it in from another building for the animals to drink. All right, we'll look into that more. If that was the case, that is disgusting if that is the case. So I'm just as disgusted as you with that. So I was really hoping that what I had heard was correct, that they were bringing that water in because it was not potable. I mean, that's crazy to me. But thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Thank you for coming. And like he said, the pup rally was great. I got to come by. Me and Kate stopped by. Thought that was good, and just keep doing what you're doing. I know it seems like we don't want this, but it is a process, and we do want this, and we do care about the animals. So keep doing what you're doing, and we'll keep working, and we'll get it done.
So some things that we're doing for the money wise, we are waiting for that. We voted last March that we were going to wait till May for the bond commission to get the money. And then we're going to immediately, if we don't, go out to a state bond. And we've always been waiting till this time for the bond commission to come back with the results. And I think what they said tonight from Kathy Austin, it may be as long as June. So we've all been working towards that goal. But we're also looking at, we got to go through the budget. And the money's pretty scarce. Makes it sound like we have $12 million, we can just go write a check. But we also have a large increase in the school percentage this year, and that's going to take some of our budget. So we got to work towards that. I can't just go assign money right now, the finance committee, and then bring it to the town council, knowing that we may have a larger bill that we need to take care of. That's totally irresponsible to taxpayers, and then to raise taxes on that. So we have to look at that in total. It's not an easy decision. I'd love to just go grab money out of the fund balance and market this and do it. But we have to look at the total budget. And we're right in the middle of budget. So we'll be done with this probably in May. And I think, you know, we'll start working on getting a bond if the bond commission doesn't give us that grant. So we are working, and it's on the top of our minds. And I'm having a town councilor saying that we're not doing anything and we're just doing that. It's just not correct. And that's just making a political division that doesn't exist. And for whatever reason they're doing that, that's their own. But I'm telling you right now, we're working hard, and we've got to get the budget set. It's a tough year. The last town council under a different, they spent $3.5 million out of the fund balance, and they could have funded this project, and that was under a different thing. So $3.5 million, and they still, and taxes still go up. So this year we're having to take care of a lot of things in the budget that were funded either through ARPA money that are now reoccurring costs that we don't have, we got to make up. So it's like a double-edged sword. And those are a lot of things that we have to look at. So that excessive spending on the last town council, and I did not approve that budget, they spent a lot of money. They spent a lot of your money. And they spent money they could have spent on this animal control facility last year, and they chose not to. And that's the facts.
Well, first of all, I'd like to thank everybody who spoke tonight and enlightened me. I didn't know all those failures, even when you're sitting on, that doesn't come to the council a lot of times. So the failures are the buildings. So, you know, even sitting on Public Works, I don't see them. So now I did. The last one did. But previous to that, I didn't know. No, I was the one to give the senator the tour of it. And you know what? And she was like amazed at how it looked. I'd like to thank the chief for really taking this to heart and having your officers in there working on it and enlightening everybody what's going on, so they have a point person to go to. If they can't find out things, they can go to the chief. The mayor says it's all right. And to the councilors, every councilor up here, we're all pushing for it. I mean, I make so many calls and talk about people and what can we do? Is it a way to move it through the bond? I told the Attorney General, talk to the Attorney General who sits on the bond commission, and told him how it is, why we need it. Kevin put, you know, Kevin Lathrop, the Council Lathrop, he's the one who said give us to June, sometime in June, right? And the bond commission, if they don't go our way, we're going to go right to a referendum. In my mind, is we're going to go out. So, no.
You can call a referendum anytime.
Anytime. But you know what? It's here and there. We're waiting for that. Plus, with the budget, I understand I'm not on that finance committee. We don't want to see a 3 or 4 mil increase. I don't think any of you do either. Even with our businesses, we don't want to. So once they get done with that and we see that, how much is going to be taken out of fund balance if they have to offset the taxes? That's how it works. That's what we're looking at too. So it's not like we're just meeting once a month. Some of us had 5-6 meetings a month. So that, you know, just to be sure that it's just, I'm the someone that says that, hey, it's going to happen. It's going to go out to the public. People are going to vote for it. You know, it's needed. It's terrible. But the chief, he came up to you tonight, enlightened a lot I didn't know that they've been working on, which is great. And the water, we did find out about that failing, you know, just a day ago. I didn't know anything about the well. So that's where I stand on all that. But thank you very much again for coming out, and thank you to the senator, too.
I want to thank you for coming out, too. I really do. And there was a lot I didn't know about the water. I honestly mean that. There's no goddamn way in heck that I would have ever allowed that.
No, not right now. This is the town councilor's. This is the town councilor's time to talk.
Yeah, you can get me later. There's one thing I want to ask. If we came up with enough money to repair it, that's not good enough, right? You want a brand new one, or you want nothing, or you want nothing?
No,
I'm just saying.
No, afterwards you can tell.
Last question.
Okay. Never mind.
You done?
I'm done. Thank you.
So last month I gave Becky a list, the bond commission list, and within 24 hours, Sean Scanlon, the comptroller, called me because he had gotten so many emails and wanted to know what was going on in Montville. And I told him what was going on in Montville. I have spoken to Lieutenant Governor Susan Bisewitz about this. I talked to the governor last week at an event where I basically cut a line and went right up to him and told him what we needed and what we wanted. I talk to Kathy, Senator Austin, often about this. She tells me that she's getting phone calls from the people that are on the bond commission. What's going on in Montville? So what you're doing is working. They, up in Hartford, need to recognize that this part of the state needs to get its due. We get nothing down here. So you need to keep fighting. You need to keep calling. You need to keep sending your emails to them and telling them that Eastern Connecticut deserves nice things, just like Bridgeport, Waterbury, Hartford, New Haven. We deserve these things too. That is where the money goes, the big cities. We need to get it here. And the only way we're going to do this is to continue fighting this fight and talking to these people and doing what we have to do to make them know that we won't be forgotten here. And I am going to continue talking to all of the people up there, as I have been, and fingers crossed that when they have this bond commission meeting, that it will be our shelter will make it onto the agenda. Because I just don't see how it couldn't with everything that's been going on and everything they've been hearing from all of you. So keep doing it.
Mayor?
I just want to say that the Phoenix Labs are the ones that tested that water on April 30th, and they did not say it was contaminated. They said it was high in sodium. It was drinkable. That's what they said. If you have another report that contradicts that, why do you wait until tonight to show it to me? But that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. I can tell you that this is the first time that the water's been tested in quite a while, because that's what the Public Works Director told me just a little while ago by text. And I'll find out when the last time it was tested. We've described our plan over and over again, what the plan is. The plan is to get funding to pay for it. And if that doesn't work, then we're going to go to referendum. And I can tell you that the last time we went to referendum on a special referendum for the air conditioning for the schools, I don't know about anybody else here, but I caught hell because it went to referendum because not enough people knew about it. If I have anything to say about it, it'll go to a referendum and a full referendum on the national election in November. And in the meantime, we're making the kennel safe. We're doing everything we can to make it safe. So if you feel you need to blame somebody, you want to make accusations, you want to make insinuations, I got big shoulders. Bring it on. I can take it. Blame me. I don't care. Blame me. But I can guarantee you one thing. We will get a new shelter, and it will be built. And if we don't get the funding, it'll go to referendum where everybody has a say. Because I was out there during going door to door, and there's a few people in here in this room. Well, I met a whole lot more people that didn't want it. It's up to you to sell it. I want to say that I was not aware of the quarry project coming back up. And yes, we will get involved in that, because I know I've already talked to a lot of people. Again, when I went door to door, I know there's a lot of people that are opposed to that, and rightly so. That noise, the blasting, the dust that's going to be created, we're the ones that's going to feel it. Let's remember Memorial Day on this Sunday at 1 o'clock. Thank you.
The parade.
All right.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor, have a good night. See you Sunday at 1 o'clock. Where are they meeting? Down at the...
Up there.
Yep. Drive-in?
No, is it the driving instructor?
No, we meet. Well, yeah, yeah. But we're 12 o'clock.
I thought it was going to be the... Oh, yes, it is.
12 o'clock is the...
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And...